Well, it's good to be with you this Sunday morning at Galt Bible Church. You are a church that's very special to us because this is where we were married. That's pretty special. This is our sending church. This is where we launched out into missions so many years ago. And we're still in it, still loving it. And we appreciate through the years your prayers, your support, teams. And I don't know where I was. I was probably taking a nap. But snoring. I showed up and Ann said, "Oh, you missed him." I was probably on the phone. But come back. We would love for you, any of you, to come and visit us. How many of you have been to Broken Arrow Bible Ranch? Let's see your hands. Yes, a few. Well, that means more of you need to come. We're not so very far away. You don't have to get a passport to come see us. We're in New Mexico, which is still in the United States of America, and it's just across the Arizona border, and the time does change in the summertime, because Arizona doesn't change their time in the winter. It's the same, but in the summer, it's 1 hour earlier. We'd love to have you come, and I know you pray for us, and we thank you. It's good to see you all, and I recognize a few of you. I won't take too long to look in the back there, the Rothenbergers, and I could go on, but we would love to visit you. We had a nice visit last night, just stopped in impromptu, and so if you would like to see us sometime this week, we will be in the area. Just let us know after the service today, and we can get together. So I know there's a lot of new people. It just happens over time, and we'd like to get to know you too. And if you do come tonight, Ann said, "Oh, you brought your guitar, and you aren't going to use it?" We often sing a song, but the music was so good this morning. What a treat. Some of those songs we have sung at camp for years. We had plenty of music this morning. I'll bring it tonight. We'll sing some of our craziest camp songs. If you come, it'll be better than the football game. And so, looking forward to that as well. So, I don't know if you speak from down here or up here. I have some pictures. Oh, yes. Why don't we just start with the pictures? I'll stand over here so you can see that. If I'm in your way, let me know. That's our family. There's our daughter in the middle, Holly, and she is at home at the moment. She just turned 27, and she's a speech-language pathologist and goes to 4 different elementary schools helping little kids, most of them Navajo or Zuni. Little kids learn to communicate. She loves it. And then Matthew is on the left. He plays the bass. I was enjoying that. Courtney, actually her dad used to teach at Galt Christian School just for a year, George Paiva, and they were at Sacramento Bible Institute back when Ann went there, and it's a small world, very small world. So there we are in the fall colors. Let's go to the next one. If I stop talking, just switch it to the next one. And yes, okay, there's Holly. She graduated last year. We're proud of her. Let's go to the next one. And there is Ruth Douglas. She's the only remaining missionary that came to Broken Arrow Bible Ranch where we serve when the camp started in 1967. And now she's in a care facility in Gallup. Ann and I help her out, and we just praise God for her life, her testimony. Part of our team. There you can see the area. I thought I'd throw in a few pictures of around us. We have lots of rock, lots of sandstone, spider rock, Canyon de Chelly. If you come out, you can go see some of these places around us. And that's to the north. Shiprock stands 1,700 and some feet above the desert floor. It's a volcanic core. the evidence of a great flood that washed all the dirt away. So interesting, the Navajo Reservation is approximately the size of West Virginia. And so it's huge all around us, Native people. And the Pueblo people, there's 19 Pueblos in New Mexico, one in Arizona. And just south of us is the Zuni Pueblo. This is the Acoma Pueblo. You notice their housing, you know, ladders, and it's typical style of their old structures. Very interesting. And the Catholics showed up. So Christianity came with the Spaniards, but they forced it on the people. They made them slaves and built these churches that are smack in the middle of every pueblo. This is just 15 miles south of the camp, right there. And about 20 miles to the north of the camp is Gallup, New Mexico, right on Route 66, I-40. The railroad goes through there, and we have ceremonies and parades, and so it's quite the shopping town for the what they call Indian country around us. And there's the camp, Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. Tim Morris built that with Tim Smith. Any of you guys know them? They used to be here, yes. That's a pipe that they put together on railroad tie backdrop, and it's in the snow. We are high elevation, so we still have snow coming at times. It gets down below zero, but we love the snow. It makes it fun. There in the camp, we have a nice big chapel. That was after a teen group there. Good place to meet and sing some of those worship songs. So there we are inside. I think that speaker is Paul Kuntz. And Paul Kuntz married Sarah Dietrich, and he's been a camp speaker many times at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. Out on the covered deck, and we have a dining room, kitchen, good eating. Our favorite food is Navajo tacos, or Indian tacos, they call them. So you can go to the next one. We're making them, the dough, and the cooks, and like a sopapilla, it's fry bread, and it is healthy. Lots of that. Oh, all the good stuff on top, and all the little kids that come and have a good time. We have Bible studies, or Bible clubs and studies around the camp for our community. We invite all of them to come to our Christmas banquet. That's what that was. And lots of dishes to do. Of course, getting all the plates dirty. There we are again in front of the chapel after another camp. And in the snow again. So a winter retreat is a big deal. Right after Christmas, we have this winter retreat. And this past Christmas, we had another wonderful group that came, and God worked in our hearts. So we have cabin groups. We have 17 cabins. And we get our pictures and make a craft with them, part of camp life, getting to know one another. There is one of my favorite cabin pictures. Jesus showed up, and they all dressed up with ties on, which we never see in our area. But, you know, for a picture, of course. Anne gets to see this a lot. She loved horses. When she grew up here, outside of Lodi, down Jayhant, sort of out there, she had horses, and so she gets to lead the program. We get a dude string in the summer, and we have several there now through the year, and we ride the trail. So we have a nice horse barn, and campers love horses. The Navajo people love rodeo. They love animals, too. And frisbee golf, disc golf is fun. All these activities around the camp. And go-karts. Not many camps have go-karts. So over the years, God has provided and blessed, and we have go-karts. It's great. And at Broken Arrow Bible Ranch, we have archery. We fix our broken arrows, and we shoot them. And riflery. And they're showing off their great scores. And we baptize lots of campers in our dunk tank. It's great. We set it up for the carnival. So when you came by, they're registering. I think that's when you came. And then we have this carnival, and we break the ice and do all this fun stuff. They love basketball. So we have this big A-frame. We have a couple courts in there, play games, and flag football and ultimate frisbee, all these things. Making friends, having good times, good memories at camp. You can't beat it. And, that's Ty Platero. He and his wife and their little boy, they're on missionary staff with us now. Groups, we're doing team challenge out in the 75 acres of beautiful land. And there, some guys, they made it back, survived Mission Impossible. One of our night games that we just love. Cabin groups. And we have a nice little bridge over the go-kart track. That's our summer staff group. Come from all over the country, and a good half are Native American right from that area. That's not on the camp. Wish it was. But we go to Colorado for our team building and camp out with the staff training week. We stopped at this arch that you've probably never seen, but there's over 400 arches just next to the Colorado border like this. Very interesting country. Lots of work teams. That's how the whole camp has been built, by work teams that came and helped us out, just keeping it up. We're always doing lots of stuff. So we have a nice shop, lots of tools. All you have to do is bring yourself. Lots of work to do in the horse pens. When the snow melts, guess what? We give them all poop scoopers and away we go. When we didn't have camp because of COVID in 2020, we had virtual camp. We sent out camp bags. We had shirts. There's Ann and Mo putting them together. Church down the road. This is where we have a Bible club on Tuesday nights. We just invited everyone to come there during COVID, and we had the back of the van full of good food. We have at the camp many weddings and many funerals because we have the facility that can seat that number. So lots of campers come, young ones, junior camps. In the summer, we'll go through 9 weeks straight of camps. Out by the highway 602, you'll see that sign. Beautiful sunsets. And just a few extra here at the end. That's kind of our crew this past Christmas party we had working together. We're building a new nurse's station. We're all excited about that. It's 40 by 40. Really going to be nice. So that's some of our staff for our winter retreat that came and helped. There we are in the snow again. And in the chapel, it's kind of hard to see it, but you remember Pastor Best, Pastor John Best. His youngest son, Nate, has been a camp speaker many times, and he's sitting right here. He doesn't look like he did way back then, but that's him. He wanted to have a group picture in the chapel. That was our first teen week last summer. So just a visual, just a picture of where we live and what we do. And it's nothing like seeing it for yourself, though. So you're always welcome to come and visit us. And it was 3 years ago we were here. It was right before COVID hit. And we came for actually a memorial service for Don Gibson. And he was the one that invited Ann's dad to come to church, Grace Church of Lockford. Ever heard of that church? Well, that's where Ann and her family went and heard the gospel for the first time. And Mattingly, Pastor Mattingly, shared a slide presentation when they were real slides in their home of the Romans Road. And that was the gospel. And that's where it all began. So it's pretty special to be back in this area. And I'm going to talk about the gospel. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 1. Romans 1. And this verse you probably know. But let's just pause for a moment. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for bringing us together. I thank you for the impact that Galt Bible Church has had in missions. Thank you for the many years of partnering together. Thank you for what you have done. In this life, we only see a little glimpse of what heaven will be like. Someday, we will see a great multitude of people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue that will gather around your throne and worship you. And it's because you simply use this church and these people here to be a part of what you are doing here in Galt and around the world. Thank you that we can be a part of your great plan. I pray that you'd bless us today in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I was told to give a message, so I'll do a little one here. I do a lot of pulpit supply in churches around us that have no pastor. In the post-war era, let's say the 50s and 60s, that's when the camp started, and many churches were planted in our area. Among the Navajo, there's churches everywhere. But now, a lot of those doors are closed, and no one's there. Other churches carry on, but they struggle with just a few old people. And so, some of those churches have found out that I'm willing to go preach, and I enjoy it. We meet some wonderful people and help to keep those doors open in churches on Sundays. So up in Window Rock, where you saw that hole in the rock, there's Say Benito right next to it. There's a church right there. Over at Hunter's Point, there's a church over there, and on it goes, on the Navajo Reservation. Also in Zuni, the Pueblo to our south, 15 miles, there's a school there, a Christian school, and a church. They're Christian Reformed, and they're missions-minded. So they asked me to come and sing songs. I'll sing a few tonight. So in their chapels, we have a great time, and I share God's word and the gospel. But you know what? We should never be ashamed of the gospel. There are some that try to hide the gospel and try to not offend anybody. But you know, the gospel is the good news of Jesus, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, that he rose again the third day. It's 1 Corinthians 15. And that's the gospel. He died for you and for me. And we can have our sins forgiven. I mean, what news is better than that? It's the best news. And yet, some people don't want to hear that. It's offensive to them because it impacts their life in a way they don't want to change their behavior and their sinful lifestyle. And we know this. But we shouldn't ever be ashamed of the gospel. So looking at verse 16, Romans 1:16. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." What a wonderful verse. And I know some of you have memorized this verse, but I hope we keep living this verse, that it's not just something we memorized when we were a kid in Awana or whatever, but that we live it, that we proclaim the gospel, the good news to people. And I'm just starting with this verse. I'm not going to take a lot of time on it. I could, but I'm going to move to the chapter that's before Romans 1. That's Acts 28. So if you just turn back a page, and I'm going to talk a little bit about Paul. The Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans by the inspiration of God. And we know the story of Acts is the development of missions across the world as Paul and others took trips and shared the gospel. They were not ashamed. At times they were thrown in prison. At times they were even stoned. And all these stories of adventure and excitement and Acts, of course, from the time Jesus ascended on high, Pentecost, the early church in Jerusalem moving towards the spread of the gospel through persecution. Persecution was happening in Jerusalem. And the Jews, says in Romans 1:16, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, How many of you are Greeks in here? Oh, good! That also means the Gentiles, non-Jews, right? So the Jews rejected it as a nation, and yet the Greek, the Gentiles are most of us, and we've heard the good news, the gospel, and received it by the grace of God. And so the stories of Acts. You know, in that little church, you saw that little white church. It was started in the 50s by Howard Burns, and it had a thriving work for years. And the Navajo people are clan-oriented people, family, the Franciscos and others. But the church slowly died. And that's another discussion, but many rural churches struggle. And that was one of them. But we have continued to have a Bible club there on Tuesday nights, and we share the good news right there in Chichilta Chapter House. And the kids come, and we thought, you know, we have done the life of Christ. We did the book of John. Let's go to the book of Acts. And a lot of times people say, Acts is for the mature Christian. Well, these little kids, many of them are just hearing the stories of the Bible for the first time. And we thought, let's just dive in. Let's talk about Pentecost. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Why are we afraid sometimes of these things? Because of abuse, of course. But let's just talk about adventure. We went through the book and the stories. Oh, the gospel is everywhere. And Paul, who was Saul, he wasn't afraid to share his story. His story was on a road to a town called Damascus, and how God got his attention, and how his life was turned around. Why would God choose someone that was antagonistic and killing Christians and holding their coats? When Stephen was stoned, there was Saul hating the Christians, and he was feared by all. And yet, God chose him to do an amazing work, and the story is in Acts. And so we come to the end of the book of Acts, and we see a great shipwreck. We all like adventure. And this is, wow, by Luke, every detail is there. They are shipwrecked. And so from the Isle of Malta, they spend the winter. And that's where I want to start this story, okay? I love stories. You know, the Navajo people, native people, they understand stories, a narrative. Jesus spoke in parables. They were stories. And so I use stories a lot. I hope that's okay. The thing about Romans, it's a great book of doctrine. But Acts is a great book of stories. And so I'll go to this story after Malta. We see in chapter 28, verse 11. We'll just start there. I love this story. It's kind of obscure. And sometimes in the most obscure stories, there's lessons that we can be blessed by. And this is one that has blessed me so much. So, verse 11, it says, after 3 months, we sailed in an Alexandrian ship, whose figurehead was the twin brothers, which had wintered at the island. So Paul is moving on, and Luke was with him. That's why he can write his account so much in detail. And they're heading to Rome. You know, Paul had been in jail for a couple of years in Caesarea. And now he's about to go to Rome. He's getting closer and closer. It took a long time to get places back then, especially if you had a storm and you were shipwrecked. And so he gets on this Alexandrian ship. Now, Alexandria, it's interesting to note that that's a city off the coast of Egypt. And my mom and dad, just a footnote, they went to Egypt. They were missionaries. And this church, Galt Bible Church, supported my mom and dad. And that's really how it worked out that I came. And I worked here for several years and met Ann, and we were married here, and God blessed. And my mom and dad were on the missionary board. It was actually in the gym over there. And that's where we met before this was built. And my mom and dad went to Alexandria, Egypt. And you know what they got? They got something worse than bed bugs. They got mites and Egyptian plagues like you wouldn't believe. They were itching for a year. They went to the doctor in Alexandria, Egypt. Very dirty place. But Egypt, we know, is kind of where the Nile River is. And along the Nile River, there was wheat fields. And so this ship was full of wheat heading to Rome so they could take it to the bakery and have lots of bread in the city of Rome. And a big ship. And there it is. They pull out of the island and they're heading to Italy, getting closer to Rome. Verse 12. And landing at Syracuse, we stayed 3 days. From there, we circled around and reached Rhegium. And after 1 day, the south wind blew. And the next day, we came to Puteoli, where we found brethren. That means they found people that had received the gospel. People that were like-minded in faith and belief in Jesus dying for their sins. And so they were invited to stay with them 7 days. And so we went toward Rome. And from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and Three Inns. When Paul saw them, he thanked God and took courage. So just imagine with me for a moment. Here's Paul, and here's a few walking with him. And the Appian Way, you know, we say oftentimes the gospel is shared in the Roman road, you know, which starts generally in Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and so on it goes to Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so all that in between the Romans road. We use that today, but that wasn't said quite like that. This was a road that was made of stone that still parts of it are visible today that head toward Rome. And here's Paul. And can you imagine, after all his adventures, he's an older man. And he always wanted to go to the center of the empire, Rome. And here he's walking along, and he sees Holiday Inn. Oh, Three Inns, sorry. They didn't have Holiday Inn back then. They stayed in homes. But he's heading up this road, and the part I want to emphasize, when Paul saw them, the brethren that heard about them. In the first part of verse 15, it says, and from there, when the brethren heard about us, they came to meet us. How had they heard about Paul? You know, the book of Romans wasn't written in Rome. The book of Romans was probably written in Corinth some years earlier. But it had gotten to Rome. The people of Rome, the Christians, the Jews and Greeks, the Gentiles, many of them had read the book of Romans. They had heard the gospel, and they had received the gospel. And they heard that Paul was coming to visit. Can you imagine the excitement? And they came out to meet him. And Paul saw them. And it's possible that Paul was hard of seeing. He couldn't see very well, it's possible. And yet he saw these people coming, and they were thanking him for his service to Jesus, his Savior. And they were walking with him up this road toward Rome. He was still a prisoner, but he had some freedoms. And there he is taking courage, taking heart, it says. He was so blessed that these people had come to see him and appreciated what he had done. And I know he gave the glory to God, as he always did. It not I, but Christ who lives in me. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And other verses that we read from Galatians and other passages, there's Paul and his heart for Jesus Christ. And there he's lifting up Christ and saying, I'm so glad I'm finally here. I'm in Rome. And from Rome, we know that he was prisoner there, and yet Paul was able to write the prison epistles back to the churches that he had been a part of in other towns and in, you know, Ephesus and in all those cities that we read about and have books there, the prison epistles, and there he's writing them from Rome, encouraging his brothers and sisters in the Lord. And what a story. But what I'd like to point out here this morning is just the missions that's throughout all of this. The missions that God has from that point in history to today. And when I come back to Galt, we drive around and we've been visiting different ones. We've been having a great time and the things change. It's not the Galt that we knew. Remember when you'd come on Lincoln Way, there was that, you just go straight to this church on Church Street, right? Remember that stop sign right there? It was kind of wanky. It was like they changed it. Now you have to drive around. And you know, things change all the time. I remember when Galt got its first McDonald's. It's like, yes, ooh, we have arrived as a town. And on it goes. And yet, God is calling out a people for himself from all parts of the world. And it started here. And from Rome, we know that the Roman Empire was persecuting the Christians at that time in a terrible way. And yet, 300 years later, Constantine proclaimed Rome, the empire, as a Christian nation. Now, whatever that meant, we know that was the beginning of the Catholic Church. And years later, we know that Rome separated and there was Constantine over here, Rome over here. But the impact of that went from generation to generation to us, right here. Who told you the gospel? It might have been your mom and dad. It might have been someone else here, but here you are. And you heard the gospel and received it. Now, there might be someone in here that's listening to this saying, I haven't received the gospel for myself. So, I'll speak to you right now and say, if you don't know for sure, absolutely, positively sure, what the gospel is, and that when you die, you'll be with Jesus in heaven. If you don't know that, you can today. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13, these things are written, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. It's not about, I hope I have eternal life. It's not based on our works. None of that. But it's totally based on what Jesus did on our behalf, on the cross, dying there for me and for you. And by believing, we can have life in his name. And we can know for sure that our sins are forgiven. What a wonderful place to be in. That doesn't mean it's all perfect. We know that. We know we struggle in this life. In this life, you will have tribulation, Jesus said. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so if you don't know Jesus today, I encourage you to talk to someone afterwards. Come talk to me. Talk to someone. Talk to Pastor Dan or Aaron Graves or whoever. You know, it was Pastor Dan Graves at Grace Church of Lockford. You pastored there. And Ann and I came, and you were so gracious to us. And that's a special church because that's where Ann came to hear the gospel. And it was the class here, the college and career class. Where's Bill Roper? You're hiding out somewhere. Somewhere. I saw you doing the offering plate thing. Oh, there you are. Yes. So when I came, I was up in Sacramento. I was working at the mission there, Bob Jeffcott, and they had a mission. And I came, it was Dick Mannion, former pastor here. I met him, and he said, come down Sunday night to Galt Bible Church and just share about your trip to the Middle East. Because my mom and dad were missionaries in the Middle East. So I did, Sunday night. And I met you all, not you all, but a few of you that's still here for the first time. And I think it was about that time I was asked to teach the college and career class. So Bill Roper gave it up because you were teaching it then. I remember that. And so I taught the class for a while, college and career class. And I remember Dennis Powers and all the people in there. But you know, one particular class, and my wife was in there. She wasn't my wife then. But she was the one listening to what I had to say. The others weren't listening. I remember that. Maybe she wasn't really listening. I don't know. But that was the beginning of our relationship. And then it was the Ropers, actually, who had this Cutlass Supreme. You're laughing. I got to tell this story. I'm off on a rabbit trail now. But that blue Cutlass Supreme Oldsmobile had low mileage, and you sold it to us for $700, I think, and it was a great deal. So we drove that car on deputation and all these churches all over from East Coast, West Coast, put 100,000 miles on it, and I sold it to a Navajo lady for $800. I'd put new tires on it, okay? Things were cheaper back then. But talk about a good deal. Now, that was smart, wise, financial, you know, thinking. So, thank you. But God used this church in so many ways, in just small ways, to encourage me in my immaturities and youth to be youth pastor here. And we began to take mission trips. And that's how we sort of like Antioch, you know, let's go to Cyprus. You know, where's Barnabas? Well, we took the youth group, and we went out one particular year to Indian country. So Navajo Nation's huge. Right on the San Juan River is a little town called Bluff, Utah, and we had vacation Bible school for a week. And the missionary that was there said, there's this camp. It's Broken Arrow Bible Ranch. It needs a camp director. When I heard the word camp, my ears pricked up, and I thought, camp and potential. That word stuck in my head. So Ann and I went to visit. We got 33 years there so far. By the grace of God, he's blessed that camp. And through the gospel message that we're not ashamed of, many have come to know Jesus as Savior, have been discipled, have grown, have come back on staff, work there at the camp, and have Christian homes and impact their world for Christ. Among Native people, there's a lot of depression, a lot of hopelessness, brokenness, and COVID, the reservation areas were just shut down. It was tough. So they're opening up slowly, but the gospel still goes forward. And we are there to proclaim it and to share it. A message of hope, not hopelessness, but hope found in Jesus. That is for sure. And by the grace of God, through the years, we've had a great, great time. We've had a lot of fun doing what we love to do. And when she went to Sacramento Bible Institute, she sold her horses to her sister. And then a year later, we were in New Mexico, and guess what? Her sister said, I'm not using these. Do you want them back? And she gave them back. Now, that's a financial arrangement that's pretty good, too. So she gave back the horses, and loves animals and horses, and we've used them as part of the program there at camp all these years, and it's great. At camp, the thing I love about camp, it's a place where you live life in a community of grace and of, you know, program. You have chapels, you sing songs, you go out and ride horses, go-karts, all these things, but you build relationships. It's all about relationships. And you know, when Paul was walking this road along the Appian Way, the relationships through the book of Romans were now becoming a reality in the lives of these people and in Paul's life. And they were saying, thank you, Paul. Thank you for writing that book to us. And that relationship was built there. And so that's what we do. And a culture of relationships. We get to know people, and we do things together at camp. And the gospel is shared through our life and through what we share. So it's been a great time serving the Lord there. And you might say, well, when are you retiring? We get that sometimes. What? Never thought of that too much. I'm 62 and still in her 50s. So for 3 more months. Hey. You know, time flies when you're having fun. But there are new people coming. That one guy with the megaphone, you know, he might be the next camp director. And we'll see what God has in mind as, by His grace, we continue to have a ministry there. It's a strategic, unique place because there are no other camps like it, reaching Native people for Christ like that. But we can be a part of it. So praise God for that. And thank you for listening. I don't see anyone sleeping here. Rothenberger said, you better keep it short, because if you look at that clock on the wall, you'll be preaching till someone falls out a window. And you know the story in Acts, where Paul went a little long, and someone fell out the window and died. And he went out and raised them from the dead by the power of God. And the stories of Acts, I love them. But I'll end here, and just thank you for listening and for coming this morning. If you can come tonight, that'd be great. And we'll share more. We'll have questions and answers and just go through things. So have a good time together. But let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your great plan. Your plan from the days the Bible was written to today, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. That your word is in our hands and we can just lift you up. Because we hear the gospel message in every book. And I thank you that people around the world have heard the gospel and have responded, have received you as Savior of their sins and are following you with their life. I thank you that the gospel hasn't changed at all. That it's only through Jesus that we can have life. And I thank you that you use us. Why would you use us? That's a mystery. But maybe it's because you choose the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. And it all glory goes to you by your Holy Spirit that does the work. We thank you for this morning. Thank you that we could come. In Jesus' name, amen.